Blog Talk Radio.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. There was no promise made, the part you played, the chance you took. There are no boundaries set, the time and yet you wasted still. Like grains of sand, you watch it go. There's no time to be lost, you'll pay the cost, so get it right. There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
Welcome to Strange Ground Secret Universe. I got a great show tonight. She's the author of Alien Equation. Let's bring her on. Good evening, Erica.
Hi. How you doing?
I am great. Awesome. How are you?
That's good. I didn't know for sure if you knew it was me in the queue there, but it's Friday night
yeah.
And it's going to get crazy, huh?
Oh, yeah, always. It's always right. So I seen that you wrote a book, but then not only that, but you also had some experiences. So tell me a little bit about that. I'm really interested to hear more about that.
Okay. well, basically, I I've been a lifelong contactee, and of course, to sum it up, how much time do we have on this show tonight?
Well, see, here's the thing. It's 30 minutes, but then I'm able to go 15 more minutes before it cuts me off. So we got about like 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, I'll tell you, I have talked for 2 hours about this, so I will condense a lot, and then we can kind of get things discussed and go into other things. But
oh, yeah.
So basically, check this out. My whole life really was what I would just consider uneventful. I didn't really think about when I was a child and there used to be beings coming and visiting me. And this sounds, I know that there can be skeptics out there saying, oh, okay, so she's already starting with the beings coming and getting her when she's a kid. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I want people to understand this first and foremost about me. I do have a skeptical side of me, okay? I want to bring out some skepticism about my own as well as just in general because I think it's healthy. So before you judge me, just understand I have an open mind with just a touch of skepticism, and I think it's healthy. So pretty much...
I'm lovely.
Yeah, I want to keep it real, and that's the thing, because let's face it, I don't believe everything. I'm not just going to fall into the traps of the parlor tricks and, ooh, yeah, I believe that. I mean, people, they have their experiences, and I can't deny that for them because that's their experience. Mine was this way, but I still look at it and go, I'm not going to close my mind to trying to find out the answers even more so because you never know. There's all sorts of things. But for the most part, when I was a child, I used to have beings that used to come and I used to tell my mom, I know they're coming. For the most part. And, of course, monster in the closet routine or whatever. As a teenager, I used to always say, hey, this was not a fantasy. And I knew, you know, you might be a child, but for some reason, you still know if someone real came up to you, for example, and say smacked your face or something, you know, you still have that sense of understanding as you're older. You can kind of, you know, see what's going on. So I didn't understand it, but then I just stopped thinking about it. And when I was 16 years old, the visitation stopped after a couple of years until I was like 8 years old. But, you know, it was strange because, I'll just tell you, there used to be like gray swirling beings. They kind of look like tornadoes. And they used to come when I was, you know, a child. And they never touched the bunk bed, the upper bunk. I was always on the bottom. So that's the way I gauged that they're about, you know, 3 feet or so. So that's the way I gauged it. But I used to just wake up and they would be, you know, it would be the next day. I mean, I was petrified. And I knew they were going to examine me. And so having said that, my life was back to normal for the most part. And when I was 16, I went for, you know, just a joyride with my friends. I mean, I wasn't driving, but we were just driving. Late summer, you know, about 7 p.m. at night. Nothing major. I wasn't thinking about anything. I didn't even watch paranormal TV shows. You know, I was into MTV. Yeah. Back when MTV really had music. But I don't know what it has now. But and all of a sudden, we basically saw a craft that was hovering, literally, I'd say maybe 500 feet away, but not before the car. First, the radio went static, and then the car stalled. And we were like, you know, all girls, you know. We didn't have a cell phone. This is 1986. You know, we were like scared. We were lost on the back roads of the Midwest, and it was, you know, dirt roads. I mean, there was nothing around. So we looked around. We were assessing, like, where we were, and the sun was just starting to, you know, go down and everything. And right within about 500 feet, there was a craft that was hovering above the tree line. And we instantly, I mean, without a doubt, we all knew and discussed it sort of in the whispering, you know, hushing, like, shit, I don't think it here. You know, we knew that it, whatever it, and, you know, it was listening. It was aware of what we were saying, for sure. And we didn't think of telepathy. There wasn't anything we thought of. It was just, you know, this brilliant, perfectly shaped saucer. I mean, there was nothing that had any kind of markings to say that it was, you know, back in the 80s, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, things were trying to look real, you know, up and up, but they had seams to it, you know, they had all sorts of, you could kind of see where the construction was to it. This was, I mean, so seamless, and it was silently hovering, and it was, I mean, it was quite large. I mean, like, I don't know, a large house, you know, it's really hard to say the exact, but it was just brilliant, and we knew that whatever it was, and collectively, was listening or aware of what we were saying, and we were scared, and all of a sudden, I just got, and I'm really condensing this up, but, I mean, I knew for a fact, and I don't know how I knew this, but I knew that we were going to forget. We were going to, like, we were in jeopardy of forgetting. I was yelling. I remember, this is all conscious memory. I was yelling to my friends, don't ever forget this. We were inside the car at this time. I said, don't ever forget this. And almost like when you are about to fall asleep or something, to where you just, the consciousness goes, I scrambled for anything I could do to, you know, almost take a snapshot of the memory of the craft or something. I mean, it was just like I had to grasp and find something that I could just, you know, okay, don't forget this. And then I focused. What I saw was where the middle of the UFO craft was. There was round circular lights that were multicolored, and they were flashing, and they were like maybe in a sequence, like it seemed like all the, and I, so I was focusing on that, and what it was is it was going counterclockwise, and it seemed like at the time, I mean, this is what my memory's telling me, but it seemed like all the red flat, it was red and sort of a yellow, white, and this really, I was just a brilliant blue color. And I have to say, the blue looked so similar to those LED lights that the cars used to just, I don't know if they still, I used to see them a lot more on the cars several years ago. I mean, when they came out, when I saw them on the cars, I was like, oh my gosh. So, you know, there's something about the brilliance to it back then in the 80s. And it seemed like all the colors of each kind flashed together. But it was going counterclockwise, and I kept thinking how strange it was that it was almost like the lights were on a band, and the band itself was rotating, but the craft was staying, you know, perfectly still. And, of course, now I can look back, I have to say, and say, was the craft itself just so perfectly balanced or something that it was actually just in, the entire craft was going counterclockwise, and it wasn't exactly on a band, you know, you couldn't see any kind of, like, movement. It was so just seamless. But, so that was, like, something that, I mean, literally, the sun was going down. You could still see the colors, but it was, like, starting to get dark. And then everything is, like, a blank until the next day. We're all standing outside of the car. We were in the car before, it was almost night. The day was like started and it could be maybe 9 or 11 o'clock, you know, whatever. And we're outside, the sun was up on the other side and the craft was rising up from, I didn't see it touch the ground, but it was rising up from about my head level. So the missing time was about 12 hours. That's an estimate with the time frame. Yeah, and this is all conscious again, where we saw it lifted up. It wasn't lifting up very fast, but it did. And then all of a sudden, it really quickly darted to the left. And while it did, it never went like, you know, almost cockeyed. You know, it was like it remained that perfect balance where the, you know, it was like centered and it wasn't like wobbly in any way. And it dipped and swooped. It dipped and swooped, and literally, if I would have blinked my eyes, I would not have seen it leave. It darted that fast. Yeah, I mean, it boom.
Now, these after this loss of time, was there any markings left on you or anything like that?
You know, I wish – I don't recall any. I was totally ignorant to any of the phenomenon at all, so I really didn't even look. I didn't notice. I gotta say, I didn't notice any because here's the weird part. Not only did I have the missing time, but after that the craft darted and out of sight, I don't remember anything for 25 years. But here's the catch: there's so many people that was, I don't know how many miles away, thousands of miles, like several towns away, and my father, my sister, the city mayor was our neighbor, all the neighbors out that night, the night that we actually encountered it the first time, they all saw it, and they all saw, my sister saw me and my friends come back the next day and to say that we saw a UFO, and then I went into the house. They quickly left. Literally, I never spoke about it ever. Nobody ever asked me anything. It was one of those, you know, I mean, nobody ever even talked, like, you know. I mean, we're talking about, I was in Iowa, okay? I mean, the town was, it wasn't the smallest town in Iowa, but it's not the biggest one either. So you can imagine it was a little bit, you know, behind the time, so nobody even talked about it. And I know people reported it, and people at the airport and everything. Whoever, they've reported it several times to several different people, and they said that, oh yeah, we're keeping an eye on it. So it's somewhere documented. I just don't I can't get a hold of
it's
anything.
It's probably in the MUFON probably picked it up. I guarantee MUFON has it on log. But yeah, sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was strange because it was just 25 years later, and which was about, say, maybe 5 years ago. I'm losing track of, you know, when I, all of a sudden, I had a death in the family. It was about 7 years ago. Death in the family, but this is what happened. I didn't think of that. It was just all of a sudden I started, like, I don't know, compelled to, all at once, and I'm, when I say all at once, you guys have to understand, whoever's listening, I mean, I was a housewife, okay, with no hobbies in the paranormal, you know what I mean? Crocheting, you know what I mean? That was it, fishing and crocheting was what I didn't think of anything else. And all of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden I got compelled, and I mean obsessed, for ancient languages. And I mean, I was studying ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. I learned all three Aramaic scripts, which obviously is mostly a dead language, reading and writing, Hebrew. You know, I was compelled with the ancient, you know, languages. And then I started to study religion, and I read the Bible and all the different, you know, I started really being compelled. And I can understand that, you know, trying to find with your mortality and, like, where did my loved one go? Okay, so that makes sense there. But the scripts were totally not like me. And when I read, then suddenly I started having these flashbacks of the UFO sighting. And, you know, it was just all in the same time frame. And I was scared when I thought of it. And I couldn't think of, like, too much of it. If I did for too long and tried to think farther ahead, I would get this, like, you know, like when you study for, or when you're forced in school to take those three-hour tests that at the end of the year, you know, ACTs or whatever. Sure. And, you know, sometimes your brain just gives out and it says, I don't care anymore. You know, you go crazy. That's how I would feel, really worn down, just trying to think of the UFO sighting. And I kept pushing forward, but I couldn't get any farther after, you know. It was just one of those things. I just push. But, you know, for the most part, going ahead now, so we can kind of, you know, go farther ahead, I started doing some radio shows and things, and it was on Blog Talk Radio, too. And I wanted to talk with people because I started remembering things. But what I ended up doing is I had a couple of regression therapies. Sessions, I mean. And I did it with someone that was trained for 30 years in this, and, you know. And what happened was, and I will make a long story short, I ended up, was compelled to get out of the car. So we're going back to what happened with the sighting. I was compelled to get out of the car, and I walked over to, stood right underneath the craft. And I always include this because I always find, you know, my detail is weird, that why would I think this, but I was very worried that it was going to fall on me because it was quite big. You know, I mean, hovering like that, I mean, with no, you know, strings attached, if you want to call it. But a white light basically surrounded me, sort of almost this dense light, and it, I don't know, I got sick and found myself up into the ship. The little beings were all running around me. They were really swirling, they weren't swirling, but they were, like, moving super fast. And they don't look anything like, now, they could be grays, the little grays, but I have to mention, they don't look like the large-eyed grays that you see with the large black almond eyes. Now, their eyes didn't look like that. It was kind of hard to see them because they were that quick, but I remember in my regression, they don't look like what people portray them as.
Could have been some sort of hybrid, maybe?
Yes, definitely. It definitely could be. It was, you know, I still have my regression on audio. Now, the reason I did it is so that I could play it, you know, and listen to it later and stuff. But mean. But so, yeah, and I had to listen to it a lot because I was almost shell-shocked, you know. I was shell-shocked. I was like, what? Well, here's why. Well, after they coaxed me onto the table, which, I mean, how are you going to leave? You know, I kept, you know, for the most part, I knew what they wanted. They didn't talk, but I knew they wanted me on the damn table. Okay, and they probably knew that I didn't want to. I was arguing, but I was still sick, and I finally complied and just did it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm so rude, but
No. I want please interject.
But the contact now, was this telepathy, or was there telepathy used, or what was the interaction contact between you and the
Well, it was definitely no verbal. They did not have verbal anything. It was, I just knew it. It was suddenly, like, it's as though I just had a thought, but it was
intuition.
It was that seamless and comfortable, and it didn't have any kind of, you know, weird. It was just like, they want me to get on. You know what I mean? Just that much.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, they were gone. Once I was on the table, they were gone. I mean, like, boom, it's that fast. And all of a sudden, I knew something bigger was coming. I mean, there was anticipation. Let me tell you, there was fear. I mean, it really was. It was like, oh, my gosh, something is coming. And I was worried. And all of a sudden, these two blue beings, they're about 7 foot tall. I mean, that's kind of the way I gauge it. 7 foot tall. They had a prominent brow and no hair. They had elongated pupils, so they could have been a reptilian or something of an offshoot hybrid. I mean, it's really hard to say because they didn't tell me.
I've done a lot of research in the reptilians. I've brought you on a couple episodes back. We went into it, but there's a lot of hybrid reptilians and stuff like that. It's very interesting stuff. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, they didn't have scales, but there was a texture under the skin. And it was they kind of had a lighter than cobalt blue skin color. You know, that's kind of the way you can look at the skin. But I kind of want to, yeah. What happened was, I can't give detail to everything, but I got really, really scared, and for the most part, they touched one of them, the male that I sensed was a male, and one was a female. The male touched my forehead. I became, like, almost like I passed out, but sort of, you know, honestly, I knew what was going on, and it was funny because they were doing something to me, but physically, and I said they were fixing me, and I didn't know anything was wrong, but that's what I said in my regression. But anyways, and what I understood instantly when I woke up and in the course of it is that they gave me a message, and this is very hokey, so but I gotta say it, this is what I discovered. I'm supposed to tell the world about the love. And I apologize, I cannot say their love or any specific, it just came to me without without verbal communication. It was just like in my head, the love. Humans have to get beyond the fear to experience the love. And I think it was their love. It was like a mother to a child because that's the way they were treating me. So I think it's sort of, we have to take a rightful place in the galactic alignment and sort of be responsible. That's the understanding that I feel to it. But those were the actual, like, almost words, if you want to say, that the original. And so what happened is after I became calm and sort of understood a little bit, I was able to walk the ship. Now, the ship was round, and it was, you know, pretty good size, but nothing like once I followed them, I was walking into a ship that was so big. I'm telling you, I never did see the ceiling. That's how big. Now, I've heard people say that it must have docked to a larger ship. I don't know. I just know that the ship suddenly got a lot bigger once we left that round room. And it was, I ended up walking, and they showed me this room, and they put me in it. And I ended up meeting this baby that looked like a Caucasian human, Caucasian color, like I am, but only also what they look like. The features were all of the blues. Oh, and I have to say this. While the blues were examining me in the round exam room, there was a taller, probably maybe 15 foot, like a tall gray, very, very tall one, because the head, the forehead of the blue was at about the chest of the tall gray. Now, neither of them looked at each other, but there was a holographic almost projection that came and went every so many, you know, minutes or whatever it was, and I don't understand that. I hardly ever talk about it because I don't understand why, if the blues knew that the other one was watching, you know what I mean? So, but anyways, moving forward with, I saw this baby in that room. They were gone. I was left alone with the baby. All of a sudden, I was like, I ended up realizing she was mine. I realized that she was my hybrid. Don't really understand, you know. But
oh, man.
I wanted to take off with her. I was about ready to, I was getting mad. I'm going to tell you right now, I was getting mad. Like, I'm getting her out of here. You know that, just, I don't have any children. Oh, I don't have children here on earth, shall I say. I mean, I hate to use that term because it sounds crazy. I don't have children, but I wanted to take off with her. And as soon as I got upset and started realizing everything, the female blue came in and took me out. And I was going off, like, I don't know if I was verbally, I don't remember verbally, you know, going off, but I was upset, and I said in the hypnosis, who's the father, tell me what, you know, what's going on. She touched my forehead, I became instantly almost sedated in a, you know, euphoric kind of sedation, and then I received understanding that I have an equation, hence the name of the book, but I have an equation that is very complex. It's like three layers and a multitude of symbols and you name it. It's very complex. And I'm supposed to find a male, I'm assuming a male human, to help me either uncover it, who has the rest of it, who, you know, there's something to do with this person or this male. Because I said he. So I didn't say she, so that's where I'm assuming it's a male. So anyways, that's pretty much what's happened, and what happened is I ended up being, they told me I've been working with them my whole life, and I just always forget, you know, it's like memory loss when I get up in the ship, and then they have to remind me, so it's kind of, so I guess, and this is what they told me, and then they, in the course of wherever, whenever, they put us back. And that's when I watched the ship leave. And when I was walking to the car with my friends, I said, this is the quote almost from my, it is literally the quote from my hypnosis. I said, there's nothing to talk about. And that's it. So whatever was planted, it was a block, and I thought, there's nothing to talk about. And that's exactly why I didn't talk about it for 25 years.
So you said that there was a hybrid of some sort. Now, you mentioned that the visitation stopped during your early pubescent stage in your life, but then it reoccurred. When do you think this hybrid was planted in? Do you think it was planted in you, obviously, or what?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, it was like from age 5 to 8, because I know where I was living, and then we moved after that. So that's another reason how I can gauge. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to know, like, 5 years old that well. But
of course.
That's when the little tornado beings would come and take me, and then I'd wake up the next day. So that, I guess another, you know, missing time of around 10 hours or something, but and it seemed like they came a lot when I was younger. Then it was about 7 years later, and then I had that major sighting and abduction, if you want to call it. And then, of course, nothing, but I have had some more telepathic things. Now, I don't get into, like, sitting around, oh, I'm telepathic, I mean, they're talking to me. No, I usually don't. I mean, but I've been working on some meditation and trying to actually, you know, uncover some. So there's been some weird things going on. So you're asking the question about. Here's a question. Oh, sorry.
When do you think this hybrid was planted in you, or how do you think that happened? From your experiences, and did it continue after?
I've had some anomalies with my reproductive organs. Now, this really, I guess, as I found out later, is quite common in female abductees. And I usually say contactee now for myself, but, when you're not understanding or comfortable with it, because I still want to say my experience was overall positive. I've had the doctors tell me that I have some scarring there, and it looks like I've had a child, like, up in the uterus. Now, honestly, I cannot tell you if it really was original, and then they removed it, and, or if that's just something that I should just ignore and just figure, why would they have me have it up inside me when they could, I'm sure, just take out my eggs and, use that in the, lab. So I never really think of it as being where I carried the child. And especially when I was 16, the child looked like a newborn almost, but yet she held herself up, sitting on the floor. And I was scared because I know that that's not right. When a child's that small, it can't sit up and hold it up. It was very, very odd and strange from the get-go. So, maybe that was one of the somebody has suggested, maybe you have several, maybe you have a lot, I don't really know. That's the only thing I remember like that, and I just don't know any more than that. So,
We're doing great. It's a great show. So was there any more contact with these beings after your last experience or later in life?
Actually, it was there was no specific contact that I know of. I did have, up until I started remembering having the flashbacks and uncovering my scenario and the memory of it, later, which is just about, let's say, around 5 years ago. There wasn't I've never had physical contact again that I know of, though, I have to say, like physical where I'm actually pulled up I've had some missing time when I went places and things in the car, but I don't know. I don't really want to commit to saying that that's from, any kind of beings, extraterrestrial or anything. I know maybe I should, but I just really don't usually. So is it an upload or a download? And I don't know which one, but all of a sudden I was trying to write the book, and I was like, this is crazy. I mean, everything was just so strange, and I was really, I was taking myself back to those memories so much. And, I basically asked for help. Like, I need to know more about my equation. It's driving me insane. It really is. And one night I wasn't sleeping, so it wasn't a dream. I was actually going to sleep out in the living room in the recliner, and I had just shut off the light and sat down. I mean, I didn't even cover it up. And as soon as I sat down, it's just like, I don't know how many seconds, maybe 10 seconds, maybe 20. It was these flashes of images that came so fast. I mean, and yet when it was all over, I knew so much. But yet it was on the tip of my tongue. You know what I mean? It was like, I couldn't even tell you what it was, but I knew it. It's like, oh, my God. And one thing that I did sort of cue in on, and don't want to scare anybody because I don't think it's the future, but I saw a mushroom cloud, sort of like a bomb. Now, I don't think that I didn't get a future scenario, okay? That, but I don't know if that's talking past, if it's, you know what I mean? There's so much to it that I can't accurately say one thing or another what it meant. But it
well, you know,
like
in my research, Erica, I've seen a lot of UFO sightings and stuff like that around nuclear facilities all across the country and world, for that matter, all across this world. So I think there's definitely a connection there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting, you know, I asked for help for the most part, and I got that, which left me, again, I have to mention, though, kind of upset because it gives me more questions than answers. But this is why I want to say what I'm doing now is I wrote the book to try to give all that I knew and add some other people's stories and things like that, you know. And there's some more details to my life and some experiences. But for the most part, I am doing a journal now. And it might last 2 to 5 years. I don't know. But I'm trying to uncover my equation specifically and all that I know and all that I can find out through meditation, channeling, you know what I mean? Everything I possibly can.
Oh, yeah, that's good all time.
Yeah, I'm
all
definitely...
Time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear. What did you say? It kind of got muffled.
Oh, I was talking about meditation, numerology. You know, you're talking about numerology, meditation. You know, I also dabbled in tarot cards, like Thoth Tarot and stuff like that. So, no, all them elements are really important that you mentioned of finding...
Mm-hmm.
I find the big answer of what the big picture is. You know, some people's got to go their whole life and search for that answer. A lot of people don't even care. Some they let it pass them by, or they simply ignore it. But it's very,
Yes,
important.
I have tarot. I can read tarot. I know I'm on the right path, and I'm gonna leak a little bit of what will be. I'm actually going to take my journal and eventually put it in book form, because I think it's just, you know, my book right now is only $7 on Amazon. I mean, that's the paperback, and it's only $4 for the instant upload for the, you know, Kindle. So it's not that I'm trying to, you know, but that's the lowest that they'll allow me to make it, you know, as far as the paperback. But because really I was just going to, for the most part, give it away. But I really want people to understand that, you know. I just want to get the message out. And then I'm going to take my journal that I'm writing and all the research. I'm going to really dig deep, and I'm going to write another book off of it. So, you know, I know there's going to be a lot more detail. Oh, my God. And I really hope so. But I'm taking my time on this, and I had a person who is a medium who came to me, actually a channeler. She said something got channeled to her. She told me this message, right? Well, I matched it to an identical message that I did automatic writing like 2 years ago, just trying to find this out, and I hardly ever do it. I mean, obviously, and I found it. I dug it out, and I went, oh, my God. It was the same message. It was like the same person she channeled, told her to tell me, and it was the same phrases that they use, and I don't talk like that. You know, it's just one of those love and light kind of sounds, and I don't really get into love and light, you know, like, hello. No, I'm more, you know, skeptical. And I said, you know what, it even said to write this book. It even said to journal and write it down in book, put it in book form, it said. Now, I got to say, she couldn't have known this. We never talked that much. There's no way she could have known, and it was right when I was starting to do this. You tell me I'm on the right path. You know what I mean? Something was screaming out to me. And yeah, so I'm telling you right now, it's a real phenomenon, and I'm listening to it. I'm listening to what's going on, and I'm doing it. So
You got to go with your intuition and what your mind says, because see what happens is you can stay at – you can stay at a certain level and be inspired to go so far, but then just never get no higher than the level that you are. But see, the thing about it is you've got to be, like, totally just open for anything. Because, you know, the way we've been programmed, Erica, it's easy to go back to fall back on old principles and old, like, bullshit. But, you know, what's really awesome is just always question, always striving to do more in your goals and your research and everything like that, and being skeptical, but then having an open mind too, you know, and an open heart in all this, because it's really important to get a better understanding.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I've learned to trust my intuition. My advice, if anybody would like to know, is if you've got intuition that you're, you know, your mind is going to tell you, you know, the body knows, the mind knows, you got to trust yourself more, you know, learn to trust. If you're an experiencer like I am, you know, don't let it go too far. If you really are feeling passionate, it's telling you for a reason, you know, to look into it, to research. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I mean, I know the show's still probably a few more minutes, but this is very nice. You know,
it's awesome.
I mean, I just want
to get your story out.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I started this. That's why I started this show. You know, I wanted to, you know, open people's minds about everything. It's just such a great awakening age right now. 2014 was a big year, and you know, just we're living. You know, 2015 will be a greater year of knowledge and enlightenment, I believe too. And I'm just glad that I could bring you on, and we could enjoy this and then learn from each other, because that's the best part.
Yeah, I say everybody needs to share as much as they can, but they have to also. I do, again, put a, you know, a little, what is it, warning in a sense, you know, share with the right people. You know, that's where Facebook, you know, has a nice community, the social networks, you know, conferences, radio shows, hosts like yourself, you know, open-minded people that you can either share anonymously or share, you know, full force like I am. I'm just using my real name and just whatever, but you have to do it in a way that's going to be safe, so that you feel comfortable, and you know, things like that. But just no matter what, just talk about it wherever you go. Like, I mean, whatever the situation is, because chances are, I have to tell you that I believe my theory is, if you see a UFO, they let you see that UFO for a reason. They got the technology. They don't have to. If it's a true extraterrestrial craft. If it is not, it could be military, you see what I mean? And they it was, oops, they saw us. So, I'm, you know, you have to distinguish between, is it military, is it human, is it ET, you know? But there's a reason, if it is ET, there's a reason that they allowed you to see it. And maybe it's because they are monitoring you in some way. Maybe, you know, you just don't know. And I don't want to scare people, but I just want to say that, you know?
Well, you know, that's the thing about the ETs, you know, we just got a couple of minutes, but I really wanted to hit this aspect real quick. Like, everybody, as soon as you mention ETs, everybody's like, oh, I'm scared, I don't want to talk about it. And that really pisses me off, because that's just like, there's more, you know, I think it goes back to our human origins, you know, and where, and everything, our history, and everything, this world's history, and everything, our universe's history. And, you know, it's just a fear. And when you mentioned UFOs, you know, well, just UFO words just been so misused, you know, but there's that fear that is ensued, and I believe that's there is great people out there right now, and you know, you're one of them that approaches it the way everybody can understand, and it's not like it's evolved, you know, the UFO.
Yeah, and that's why, like the title of my book, Beyond the Fear, The Alien Equation, we do have to get, that's the message they gave me, to tell the world, we do have to get beyond the fear, or we're never going to, you know, we're never going to evolve, like you said.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's one thing we can't ever do, is live in fear, and I'll never do it. You know, that's really important in life, is conquer your dreams and never live in fear. I appreciate you, Erica, coming on tonight, and I gotta bring you back sometime. And it was beautiful hearing your experience.
Well, let's keep in touch. You know, let's keep in touch for sure. You got my number, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you, Erica, and you have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on Strange Around Secret Universe. I'll see you next week.